Amen. Chapter 6 of Galatians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You can be enticed as well. Remember, we had talked about in the previous chapter, you know, those desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And I see this as connected, because you know what? When someone is overtaken in a fault, there's always some people who really want to hammer them. Or there can be. I pray it be not so among the people of God that they would be that way. Right? But Paul is saying, don't. And what does it mean to be overtaken in a fault? Overtaken literally means to find out or detect. It means that they were caught. Not if a man confessed to a fault, but he is caught in a fault. And I return immediately in my mind to the book of Romans. In chapter 2, you will remember how after Paul had delivered that long list of all the wicked things, all the unrighteousness that men do, right? And he says, now we know, you know, which included fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, proud, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without an actual affection, implacable, unmerciful. All these things. Thou shalt not. Now, we know. He says in verse 2 of chapter 2 of Romans, he says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. We know, as Paul had said in Galatians chapter 5, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we know that. Personally, me, when I get excited about that, it's not because I want to come down on those who do such things. No, what I get angry about, excited about, or whatever you want to say, get zealously affected about, is that people say that you can do those things and inherit the kingdom of God. And by doing, I mean that you are the doer of those things, you continue in those things, you follow after those things, you die in those things, as Jesus warned. That if you do not believe I am He, you will die in your sins. And then Canadian 2, you know, we know that the judgment of God is against those things. I'm not hammering people about it. I don't want to. But I'm against those who pervert the gospel of Christ into saying, and deny that He came to deliver us from such things. Okay? But in the course of that, we are not to, as Paul says in verse 4, and I'm going to paraphrase slightly, despise the riches of God's goodness and His forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing or not considering, not thinking about it, that the goodness of God leads me to repentance. See, for me, to be... to think that, you know, and what he had said there, it's like, you know, you think that you who do the same thing, you're not going to be judged the same way? Remember how in Jesus' preaching, he said, in his doctrine, he said, when he said, they taught them to pray, pray this way, our Father which art in heaven, etc., but forgive us as we forgive others. The way in which you want your brother, I mean, you want to be treated by God. What do you want Him to require of you for your forgiveness? Well, be the same way with your brother. He will forgive you as you forgive others. Meaning, get down on your knees. Plead. I want to see some emotion. Now, I mean, we don't want... Now, again... I see cause in the scriptures where it says, hey, you know, he says, I've heard that there's fornication among you, and such fornication is not named among the Gentiles. I've written you an epistle that you should not keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. But if anyone be called a brother, be a fornicator, or this, or that, or that, have no fellowship with them. Okay, well, what about this? Well, there's obviously some judgment of the Spirit that has to go on. But the thing is, you can't look at this. I can't give you like a set of criteria and say, well, if he needs to act sincere. Well, what does it mean to act sincere? Well, he's going to probably cry, maybe, or seem on the verge of tears, very sorry. Your brother has to do this, that, the other, you know, and start to get almost legalistic, get actually legalistic about the way you want your brother. How's God going to look at you when you want to be forgiven? When you just want to be like, you know, I just, Lord, once again, this error is just tormenting me. And I've gone back to it again. God, forgive me. Let me restore me into your good graces. Because I believe you are going to cause Christ to be formed in me. And that is the hope I have. Because remember it says, we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. In chapter 5, verse 5. Now, unfortunately, I'm reteaching Romans 6, because I started to teach it, only to realize I hadn't recorded it. Now, I don't remember if I taught this in chapter 5. So I might be repeating it again. I thought this was part of what I said in 6. But I want to go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 22, or 20. Romans 8. Fortunately, I already went through this to figure it out. We are saved by hope. Verse 24 of Romans 8. It says, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, we do with patience wait for it. Remember, the patience and long-suffering of God leads us to repentance. And we, as he said, we are through the Spirit waiting for something. We are waiting for what? The hope of righteousness. Hope being, we expect that God is going to deliver righteousness in the form of Christ in us. And what leads to that? The patience and forbearance of God that leads us. We ought also to be patient and forbear with our brethren. Okay? Don't be desirous of vainglory. Let's not showboat. Because you know why? God will make let you be tempted. Enticed. And then, what if you're caught then? Now you imagine you come down hard on a brother. You require much of him to restore him. And now you're overtaken in a fault. Maybe the same thing. What now? Do you expect the church to be more merciful to you? Or will they exact every ounce of blood you know, so to speak, every tear, every supplication, every whatever? I mean, honestly, I'm talking about this, but because only in churches where you're zealous for righteousness is anything like this ever going to happen. Most churches, people just come and go and they sin and they don't. You know, hey, who cares? We're all sinners, saints. I mean, that's just disgusting. That angers me because they've perverted the gospel of Christ into something that is not a gospel. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. If a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I like that. Bear one another's burdens, Every man shall bear his own burden. But the word burden in Greek is two very different words. In verse 2, it's baros, which means weight. In a figurative sense, like a load, an abundance, you know, whatever. It's a weight. Okay? In verse 5, it is the word fortion, which is spelled like portion, but with an H after the P. So, it's almost like portion. I wonder if the words aren't related. But it means literally an invoice as part of freight, or in a figurative sense, a task or service. Now, I like that. The first, we bear one another's weights. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And brethren are weak. People are waiting for the hope of righteousness. You know what that means? That means you don't always possess 100% of... I know this. I don't possess 100% righteousness in me, which is received by faith. I do not. I know it. I do not see Christ fully formed in me. Not even that portion of that, the righteousness. Ultimately, I got to be made perfect through suffering, right? But still, I still see sinful things. I still see it. To me, that's not a big confession, really. Because you know why? I can't make it happen. If I pretend, I just deceive myself. I am just like Hagar, Ishmael. All I've done is jump the gun, claim a righteousness, claim the promise, but not according to the way God had dictated it, not according to faith. Sarah shall have a son, not Hagar shall have a son. And I haven't received what God is wanting me to wait for. So I wait for it. Not giving any room to the flesh, or using the liberty of Christ as a cloak for sin. No. But if I saw it, I wouldn't yet hope for it. I'm waiting for it. And we all wait for it. Because the thing is, it's not just me who has to be formed. It's everyone around me in the body has to be formed. Until we see us all formed into the image of Christ, we're still hoping, aren't we? Because no man lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. That's why we got to bear one another's burdens. That's important. Because we aren't in this by ourselves. In that respect. Now, if a man think of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. See, people like stand, oh yes, in church they think there's something. So you think you got something from God when you really don't. You're just deceiving yourself. Let every man prove his own work. When I hear that, I like to go to 2 Peter chapter 2, when he had talked about, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. I quote this all the time. Godliness, kindness, love. If these things are in you and abound, you will not be unfruitful. Right? And then if you go on down, he says, he that lacks these things is blind. They cannot see afar off, forgotten their purged from their old sins. But then verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Again, the word dead diligence. Diligence to add to your faith. Well, diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. That's what I mean here. It's like, you got to bear your own burden in that sense. Is that you have a calling, an election, a task, a service, a burden. It's not a burden in the sense of weight, difficult. It is your task. This burden means your service. This is your invoice. In fact, that's literally what it means. This is your invoice. God is giving you an invoice. It has on here, and we don't always get to see this, but God almost looks at it. You know, it's like, we have to bear this. So what's that mean, bear? As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly? That just struck me like that. So I have to bear the image of this invoice. I've got to prove my own work. What's that mean? It's got to be tested. That's what I mean, like when I quoted Peter, you know, I'm giving diligence to make it sure. I got to prove it. Not to make God, I'm impressed with him. No. I've got to prove what I am. You know, what it means is like, there's an invoice. This guy's looking at it, okay, we're going to make this guy a whatever, prophet, apostle. I'll tell you what, I covet the greater gifts. I would love to be an apostle of God. What a wonderful thing, But the thing is, you can't just claim it for yourself. You've got to have the invoice. It's got to call for it. You know what I mean? That your name isn't on, if it doesn't read that, if it's not written in heaven, you can't take it to yourself. And I tell you now, I'm no prophet. I'm no apostle. I'm nothing. See, prophets have books. They sell in bookstores. And apostles, well, they drive big cars. And they work in places with shiny glass ceilings. They have coffee shops. Play beautiful music. And they make six-figure salaries. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle. Those men wear silk business suits. Not dirty old t-shirts. Not torn up, ripped up clothes. I'm just some guy who has learned a few little things. And these are very simple things. Honestly, the thing I teach you is not took years of learning. It took mostly years of unlearning. And that was slow. And then one day God gives his spirit and understanding is quickened. You know, it's. I guess I get somewhat exhausted. Because sometimes these studies go on into the night. I already covered this. About man proving his own work. And it wearies me to speak of it. In this sense. It's about. Because it's like, the thing that comes to my mind is my example versus all the false, all those people who do. They're something else, aren't they? Prophets have TV shows, see? A real prophet would have a TV show. Not some cheesy internet site. Giving it away for free. See, a true apostle charges for his ministry. You couldn't get a line-by-line study in Galatians. Why, that'd be worth something. Buy the cassette series now. Galatians, only $49.95. And I'm not here to make you my disciple. I want to make you a disciple of Christ. If I follow him, yeah, follow me. But I tell you, ultimately, I think I said this in the previous chapter. My job as a teacher is to become obsolete, where you don't need me anymore. Then I've done my job. Then I've done. If I've done to the point where you just, where you're my, I want you to race ahead of me in your mind. You know, I don't think these things are difficult. You just, a lot of times there are things in the way. By faith, seek that they should be taken out of your way. That God could make, you know, purge out the old leaven. Become a new lump. Ultimately, you know, that's the biggest barrier to being taught is those false doctrines that people have stuck in their minds. Again, I can't remember if that was something I covered in the previous chapter or if it's something that's like just that I covered in 6, but I'm remembering it as already done because I'm covering 6 twice. It makes it difficult for me. And as I cover it, I think I'm sad because I covered it so well. I covered this part so well. I'm covering it in half the time. But really, oh, it pains me to my heart. But you know what? Honestly, as I thought, I just proved my own work for myself. And I rejoiced in all the things God revealed to me. What makes me sad is I can't share all that happened to me the first time with you. It really does. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. Now that means to share. It comes from the word koinonia, which is where we get our word fellowship. We have the fellowship of his suffering, the fellowship of his death. And when we talk about Christian fellowship, the word koinonia comes up a lot. It is what we as Christians have with one another. So, it means there's some sort of commonality involved. The koinonia means things held in common. Things which are common, like, you know, say we all agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have fellowship in that regard. We have koinonia, you know, and so him that is taught and him that teacheth, we have there's a bond. And so, him, you know, I could teach this in a certain way, as some would say, share with or distribute in goods, as they say. But honestly, that's fine. But there are other good things besides good commodities or things of the earth. I don't like to use it because honestly, today it seems the world is so full of that. So many men are out there selling the gospel and selling themselves. And they misuse the word of God. They blaspheme the name of Christ. And because of them, the name of Christ is blasphemed by others. It is such a travesty. All the things done for filthy lucre. But a servant is worthy of his hire. I'm just not for hire. Personally, me. I'm not for hire. If you want to you want to do good to me, then hearken to my words. And I'll take the treasure in heaven. Thank you. I'll take my pay there. When you see me, when we are all made the sons of God, just share with me your inheritance. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you put in the ground is what you get back. And so it is, if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh. Oh, well, I was going to be like quoting, but I remember. Oh, that's right here. Yeah, verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what are we sowing to the Spirit? I always like to look at the commonality of terms. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So if we sow to our spirit, we could actually reap righteousness, because we are hoping. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, meaning it is the evidence of things not seen. I mean, it's all you have. All I have is in the way of proof of what the righteousness is coming is what I believe now. It's the only proof I have. It is the proof of my hope. Doesn't prove it to people. It's not literally true. But it is all I have. It is the only evidence there is. Okay? Of what is coming. But with God, that is very powerful. With man, it's just empty words. But with God, is very powerful. Because he sees our faith as something very real. That's something he wants. And when I say our faith, I mean the faith that he's given to us. If we sow to our flesh, what are we going to get? Corruption. So he says, do not, you know, give any, don't give any, make any provision to the flesh that you should fulfill it in the lust thereof. Crucify the flesh. As Paul says, we're not even in the flesh anymore in Christ. That's the idea. And if you haven't received that yet, then by faith, believe that you will receive it. Believe God, and he will impute it to you for righteousness. And guess what? Christ will be formed in you. Just like Isaac. But don't settle for... Don't go into Hagar. Don't go into Hagar. We have that allegory. We have that example. We don't need to repeat that portion. Why go back to the law? That's this whole point of this epistle. Don't go back to the beggarly elements. The beggarly elements are the... Literally, it means like beggarly is like impoverished, poor, cheap, not worthy, not glorious, not honorable. Those elements. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hey, you know. Seeking God by faith is doing well. You do well. Don't faint. Be diligent. Add to your faith. If you do these things, you shall not be barren nor unfruitful. Okay? But don't be weary in it. Don't fall away to something else. Don't sow to your flesh. We shall reap. We wait for the hope of righteousness. We will reap in due season. There are seasons of reaping. There are seasons of waiting. Until Christ be formed in us. In individuals, but as a whole. That's why we're always waiting for the hope of righteousness. Because even if I've received righteousness, I'm still hoping for my brother. Still hoping for him. Not lording it over him. Not beating him up over things. For I, you know, as I believe for me, that because of faith I will receive the righteousness which is of faith by Christ, free indeed, that I will be free indeed. I also believe for my brethren, that though it not yet appear, I wait for the hope of righteousness. I will be patient with God, who is leading them to repentance. That is what I believe for you who hear my words. As we have therefore opportunity. Again, that's the same word as season in the previous verse. As we have season, let us do good unto all, especially to them who are of the household of faith. I think I just said that. Ye see how large a letter I have written to you with my own hand. Or I think that means that he had a He wrote in big letters. His handwriting. It refers to his large handwriting. This is, you know, I wrote this because of the way I use those big letters. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. That's the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. You know, look at that. They did it. There's, you know, they say misery loves company, and so do religion. People, I'll tell you what. Like, you know, people who, like, there's a famous atheist, he wrote a book, right? And you know what? He's as eager to make people convert to his belief as the most zealous evangelical. They're all the same. When people with big ideas, They always want to make converts, and they, because it makes them feel good. You know why? Because that's, that affirms them. Why? Because they seek, they want, it's all based on man. They want to control men. They want to see men do, when they see men fulfill their words, they rejoice. That's what he meant by have you rejoicing in yourself and not in another. Look it. Like, they can't just rejoice, I'm circumcised. No, they have to have other people do it. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to make you righteous. I'm speaking the gospel of Christ. He will do it to you. I can't do it for you or to you. All I can do is wait for it with hope. And I'm going to teach you the truth concerning all these things. But not in any way so that I should make myself something. Because I already know I'm nothing. God has showed me this plainly. I'm not anything. I'm just someone who's talking. God had given me a certain aptitude for teaching. And even at that, I see, you know, I've already been, you know, I'm not too good at it. Sometimes I talk too fast. Sometimes I talk too slow. Sometimes I use a few too many ums. You know? God gives understanding, but it's all in a kind of a simple thing. Honestly, I don't need to be that smart to do this, really. It doesn't take a lot of intelligence. It's just what God gives you to do. Gives you the ability, or just kind of hands you things. Seems very straightforward. I don't know how it all got lost. I think just because from people following the traditions of their fathers. It's like those who were trying to get circumcised, you know. They want to make you follow the Sabbath so they can glory. Oh, we got another one. That really affirms us. The more people who believe the way we believe, it affirms us. Well, my faith is a little different. If a lot of people started agreeing with what I teach, I would be somewhat suspicious that I'd made a mistake. I really would. I would think, maybe where did I go wrong? It doesn't seem right that so many should believe. Unless God had given, you know, like some wondrous works accompanying it, you know, like where he's like, Paul, I'm giving you a miracle to do, so everyone's going to hear you. And then they'd hear. Whether or not they'd continue in it, that'd be an entirely different question. But people would hear. You work a miracle, all of a sudden they're like, we got to listen to this guy. That's how Jesus got so much attention. That's what I say. I know I'm nothing. Because the apostles wrought miracles. And even in these churches, there were miracles wrought among them. I'm nothing. God hasn't done any such testimony of me. I'm still waiting for the hope of righteousness. I have not seen Christ formed in me. I see him being formed. And I know he will be formed. But I'm still waiting for it with hope. And that is our, and you know what? And God, and don't sin. And the serious thing is as though you seek righteousness, don't judge me over that. Because God has already imputed righteousness to me. Because he already knew me. And he has called me from my womb. To do what? To do this. That's all. To declare this gospel to you. In power? No. Just in word. Just with my voice. To prepare the way for you. So that you might have Christ formed in you. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. I mean, look at. Like I said, those who try to do these legalistic things, and I pick on the Sabbath because the thing is, there's no one asking you to be circumcised, okay? But those who do other things by the law, let's say someone wants to say, oh, let's go do the 40 days of purpose, or the 40 days of the fruit of the Spirit, or the 40 days of this, right? And let's do this, and we will achieve something, right? But they who do this, they don't achieve those things. They aren't able to keep those things. They just desire that you should do it with them so that they could be affirmed in it. and they could glory in it. Look! They came and joined! Isn't this wonderful? We've made another disciple after our image and after our likeness. Isn't this beautiful? Because that's what they all do. The Baptists will instruct you in the way of baptisms, and the Catholics in the way of Catholicism. They will make you disciples of that. You will conform to the image of that. You will not hear the gospel, this gospel. They will conform you to an image that is set in stone, pretty much. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I to the world. What's the point of glorying? Oh, I made some more disciples today. What's glory is that cross. Someone getting nailed up to a couple of pieces of wood. That's glory. See, they don't want to suffer persecution for the sake of the cross of Christ. And I say, you know, what did Christ die for again? Oh, yeah, let's see. Paul kind of covered that in chapter 1, didn't he? Like in the first three verses or so. Actually, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins? That's the cross of Christ. He gave himself for our sins. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. You understand, the cross is the powerful, dynamic influence that makes all this possible, that we could receive, that we could receive all these promises of God by faith. It's because of the cross. It's because of his sacrifice, because he wipes out our sins and also raises us in newness of life. Dead with him, buried with him in baptism, crucifying the flesh. All these allegories become possible because of what he did there. That powerful moment. That is the moment of glory. That is what I glory in. I glory in that. The cross of Christ. His work that makes my task, my service, my burden possible. It makes it possible for me to have this promise. Without that, it's all impossible. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Doesn't matter what you do with that. Or the same thing. Okay. Neither keeping the Sabbath availeth anything nor not keeping the Sabbath according to the law or not to the law. You know what I mean? I think I covered that in the previous chapter. It's all blending together in my mind. It's been quite a strain. I've been teaching here actually for several hours. Because you may split the chapters into different times, but I sit here and teach for 3-4 hours. And in this case, I'm past the part I did before, but now I'm feeling weary. But God strengthened me to finish this book powerfully in the spirit and power of Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, there's no, but what is it? But a new creature. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Be not conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? Into a new creature. A new creation. A fresh, new formation. Transformation. The thing is, I want to be transformed. The person I was in this world, it's not very, there's not much honor about it. Not much to be admired in me at all. If you could see me from my perspective especially, you'd see a man unworthy, ungodly. Who is not worthy to be named among the least of all of God's servants. Not worthy to be named in the same sentence. But then to say, that I could be made a new creature. If it's true, look at, I'm as you are. You know, that's the thing, is like people teach in the Bible and so on and so forth, and they, people look at them as something special. There's nothing special. By reason of time, all of us ought to be teachers. Meaning, we've been in it long enough that there comes a point where we could all teach it. Shouldn't, you know what I mean? We all have to give a readiness to answer, you know, for the reason of the hope that lies in us. It's for all of us to do. And that's all I'm doing here is I equip you with a little extra instruction. Maybe these things are not all, you know, maybe you haven't heard it all tied together. You know, there's a whole letter and so on and so forth. You know, a lot of the people I know who are listening to this, or at least the original people who are going to listen, I know are my friends and are people who are already very spiritual and well along on this walk, in many cases farther along it than I am. And they can all judge for themselves what kind of person I am. Those who don't know me, though, I tell you, there's nothing to be admired in me. I'm the same as you. So you can receive these promises as I do. Unless I be someone who deceives himself, right? Think you're something, but you're nothing. I prefer to think I'm nothing and hope that something is happening to me. And then when I see it, and if God testifies to it, then, and what does Paul say then? Where is boasting? It's excluded. Why? Because I received it all by faith, and I received it. Why would I boast as if I had received it not? Everything I've gotten so far, I've received. It's been like, it's been just given to me. So I know it can be for, hey, if it can happen to me, it can happen to you if you receive it by faith. If you're able to receive it by faith, because all men have not faith. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the God of the Israel of God. What's he call them? The Israel of God. Because you remember, the whole thing here is people who are like, he's wishing them cut off. And they're trying to make people circumcised and become Jews again. And he says, the Israel of God. Because the Israel of God are the children of promise. The children of Abraham. And according to the gospel, it includes Gentiles. Gentiles like me. Gentiles like you. But it does not exclude Jews by any means. For they be the natural branches. So we've already learned in previous studies. He's saying, you walk by this rule. The rule, what rule? A new creature. That's the whole, that's it. Something new. Remember? Christ has to be formed in us. I love that verse. 19 of chapter 4. Never forget it. Along with all the other things in Galatians, gosh. There's so many, I wish I could remember them. I wish the New Testament lent itself to being made into songs. Maybe that's why I've been led so strongly to teach the New Testament. Not that we will be getting to the Old, too. But my little children, verse 19, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Something has to be born. The seed of God must remain. Don't be an abortion. How do you know you're not an abortion? Because sin stops. At least that's part of it. But don't be deceived. Don't look at Ishmael righteousness and think, I've got it. Wait for the hope of righteousness, which is of faith. Verse 17, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul. Interesting, the word marks is stigma. slaves were branded. And so Paul, I'm reading this from a note in my Bible, as the slave of the Lord bore his marks. I like that. Interesting, the god Mithra, his servants, the initials of Mithra were branded into the servants. And Hindus also marked themselves with the trident of Vishnu, at least they did back in the 1800s. So the idea is that, you know, I bear my... But what are the marks of Jesus that were on Paul? Well, he was scourged. He was stoned. He was beaten. The marks of Jesus are the marks... You know what it is? A physical suffering. Honestly, I don't have any of those marks on me. I don't have one of them. That's why, you know what? That's why I'm nothing. I'll tell you what. That makes me nothing. I don't care what people know. You can have all knowledge. And you can give your body to be burned. But if you have not love, and I'll tell you what, when you truly love the brethren and love the gospel, those marks will come. They have to come. Because according to Paul, we are appointed to affliction. You think in this country, when can it ever happen? I don't know. I hope in my life at some point, I know. I hope. When I say hope, I don't mean in the sense of like, oh, I hope it happens. No, I expect in my life it will be revealed. It will be revealed at some time how that I might fulfill that, because I know that Christ is going to be formed in me. Amen.